from 30 for 30 Podcasts.
Brian Patta, senior defensive lineman from Miami, gunned down.
The key to this case, it's Brian.
An hour before he died, he was on the phone arguing with somebody.
This might be a hit.
You want the truth. They just want a conviction.
Being placed under arrest.
We had a killer amongst us.
Murder at the U. Listen now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
This kid has been on fire today.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Lawyer step back three, right wing. Yes! Payton pulls the upset.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests, ESPN college basketball analyst Seth Greenberg, comedian Derek Stroop, plus latest news and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, everybody, to all those out there watching on Disney Plus, the ESPN app, and we say hello to those listening to us every day on this ESPN Radio terrestrial radio affiliate. We love being on ESPN Radio, back again where once upon a time I was the original studio host for Major League Baseball coverage on ESPN. So I just absolutely adore being on ESPN Radio every day. Sirius XM Channel 80, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial, whether you're Dominican or American. Give us a ring here on this program talking about March Madness. We have brackets. If we didn't have brackets, why am I holding one right here? Men's and women's brackets. We've got them. We're going to start looking at the brackets, who's in, who's out, bubbles popping and all that sort of stuff. Seth Greenberg is going to be joining us on this program in less than 20 minutes time because there's not enough bald Jewish men on the program. And so on top of all that, what? That's the truth. Derek Stroop, the comedian, is going to be joining us in studio in hour number three. He's a very, very funny man. Don't miss that. We'll have some laughs. And again, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. What's up, Christopher? How are you?
I'm bald. I'm not Jewish, but
it's all good.
I'm happy to be part of the
program. The Tennessee Titans of broadcasting.
Absolutely.
Jason Feller, how are you, sir?
Good to see
you.
Bald and Jewish, checking in.
That's it. TJ Jefferson, the candle appears to be not lit. What's going on over there?
I think it's time for this one to hit the track.
Oh, is it?
Oh, it's
John
over.
John Wick 5?
John Wick is out. I'm not bald. I'm thinning, and I'm Baptist, not Jewish.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're all up to speed.
Happy 316 day.
Oh, yeah. Happy 316 day to you, sir.
Crack a beer mid-show.
Stone
on it.
Steve Austin day. It's 316.
Give me a hell yeah.
All right. Fantastic. Again, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the program. Listen, March Madness is beginning, men's and women's tournament. It's awesome. It's just one after another, after another, after another. And one of the many things we love about March Madness is, yes, unpredictability. Yes, the stories and the journeys and everything like that. But once again, what we love as sports fans is to watch an event where it means as much to the competitors as it does to us at home. It is like we are connected Matrix style. We are connected sitting at home. We are connected sitting in a bar. We are connected watching from an airport backseat on a plane or an airport terminal on our phones. We are connected as a one unit of sports fans and sports competitors together. And that is why also the World Baseball Classic is awesome. I love it. I cannot wait for Italy and Venezuela to play tonight for the right to take on Team USA. It has been electric. It has been October baseball in March, and it is for love of game, love of country, love of heritage, just love, period. And it is awesome. I have loved myself every single second of it. Just great. And every now and then, it does just also remind you of just how great the players who play Major League Baseball are. They are as athletic and as terrific athletes, you know, as you possibly can see in any sport. And then, you know, you got the Alejandro Kirks of the world who've already got that October gut working. You know what I mean? Like, it's awesome to see how many stars of the game are playing. You see prospects out there. Just great. And it is also a reminder that the season's coming. And you see who's out there for your team and dominating or not doing well. And what does that mean for the season? What does that mean for your team? You're reading into all of this stuff. And then a game like last night happens. Paul Skeens is used to not getting run support, as we all know, as a Pittsburgh Pirate. And he gives up the first blow of last night's game to one of the best in the business. Cooper loves him some Caminero.
He's so good.
He just absolutely loves this kid.
Oh, I know.
And the blast puts the Dominican Republic up 1-0. And it looks like, you know, Luis Severino, he's touching 100. And it's not looking great. Certainly when Skeens is not hitting the zone as much as he does that you're used to seeing.
A little off.
Right?
He's getting hit a little bit.
But that Dominican Republic lineup is insane.
Yeah, yep.
And it's tough to beat a team that has love of the game coursing through their veins, a chip on their shoulder, a manager who may be the best player on the team, you know, if he grabs a bat, and Albert Pujols, with all due respect to everyone else, right?
Good one.
Good. And then, you know, somebody decides to hit a baseball to Aaron Judge, and he hoses another guy out at third base.
Can you stop trying to run on that
Skeens.
Dude?
Like, man. And, you know, again, the way I'm viewing it as a Yankee fan, I'm like, last year, Judge had something going on with his elbow and his throwing arm, and it's like, okay, he's ready for 2026. Hosing people out, giving an opportunity to his teammates to start taking a lead, and then Gunnar Henderson and the Roman Empire of Boston that is rising. As a Roman Anthony gives the United States a 2-1 lead with two solo shots, Cooper turns to me. Again, we root for the Yankees in our household. He goes, Dad, this guy's going to be a problem for a long time.
He's right.
And I'm like, yes, my youngest son, you are correct.
Until we decide to not pay him and he goes to the Dodgers.
I think you already paid him, though, which is smart right now, early on in his career, before he's really even done very much other than show that he's incredible. So, 2-1, and the Dominican Republic starts putting guys on base, and one after another, relievers come out of the pen. Mark DeRosa is pushing buttons. It all works out, yada, yada, yada. Mason Miller comes on to protect a one-run lead in the ninth. And with a runner on third and two outs and the game on the line, a clear ball four on a 3-2 pitch is called strike three looking, and that's the end of the game. I mean, this was a call that home plate umpire Corey Blazer, he's been a Major League Baseball umpire since 2010.
Yeah, this will be his 16th season coming up, yeah.
Well, it just goes to show you that even the most veteran umpires, if they're calling a ball a strike in a certain spot that's not a strike all night long, and it's not a strike on any night of the week except this one, you should take the bat off your shoulder. And Perdomo did not. In the end of the day, this was ball four. And the USA moves on. The Dominican Republic goes home or back to their respective spring training facilities. And it's a bitter pill to swallow. For fans who wanted to see a game where it's not marred by a called strike three that was ball four. And also, I don't know, just wanted to see more baseball, to be honest with you. But I don't know if Team USA would have won a game going into extra innings, that's for sure. Mark DeRosa was breathing a massive sigh of relief while giving his pen some kudos.
That was high-level baseball at its finest. I mean, for our bullpen to come in and do the job they did, Dominican never stopped. It was like constant traffic, never relaxed. Just just a game we'll remember forever, right? I think for me, Tyler Rogers coming in, getting a double play, David Bednar having traffic, Griffin Jackson down the line, just getting it to Mason. Garrett Whitlock is absolutely nasty. So, yeah, just a – and on their side as well, they held us in check. It was three solo shots decided the game. So, proud to be a part of it.
And that's a nice sigh of relief for this manager who sat Bregman and played Gunnar Henderson, and that's a button nicely pushed, with all due respect to Bregman. And USA moves on, and Albert Pujols had this to say about the called strike three that should have been runners on the corners and Fernando Tatis Jr. up at the plate.
I don't want to focus in the last game, in that last pitch. Obviously, it didn't go our way. Disappointed about the way that the game ends, but I don't want to criticize any of that. It wasn't meant to be for us. I think both team pitched well, played well. Our bullpen really did an outstanding job. Severino did a great job as well. So I don't really going to focus the whole game, especially as a great game like it was tonight, on that last pitch.
You know, that's Pujols being classy. Also a guy I think that wants to be a manager in the Major League Baseball world. And I think he showed the stuff and turning down an opportunity to appropriate light up this home plate umpire because Soto got called out on a called strike three in the same spot earlier in the game.
Yeah, he was calling the low strike.
Which is why, you know, Perdomo might have – it probably is a good idea to take your bat off the shoulder. But that's ball four.
When the catcher looks shocked that it's a strike, then you kind of go.
I mean, Will Smith, phenomenal frame job.
But again, and by the way, Will Smith in for Cal Raleigh as well. You know, you take a look at the opportunities that, because I always say play better than the ref's ref. The Dominican Republic had opportunities throughout the game. They had runners in scoring position, I believe, in the fourth inning. Austin Wells flied out to left to end that inning. Juan Soto hit into a double play when Travis Rogers, another guy that was added to the roster and then inserted in a very tough spot, Rogers got Soto to ground into a double play in the fifth. In the seventh inning,
great play by Bobby Witt.
Bednar had traffic on the base paths, as DeRosa pointed out. Tatis Jr. and Marte back-to-back strikeouts. And then obviously there was a runner on second in the ninth inning with one out. And those moments in the fourth, fifth, seventh, and ninth opportunities with, except in the fourth inning, less than two out runner or runners in scoring position, and they could not get it done. And that's the way that you wind up in a position to have a home plate umpire kind of blow the call and ruin your night and end it. And just like in the last World Baseball Classic, we're about to have a new rule change where the World Baseball Classic shows off how it might affect things. Now, if you recall the way the World Baseball Classic ended the last time, it was when Shohei Ohtani faced off with Mike Trout with two outs in Japan versus Team USA. This is way back when Ohtani was a player that we were wondering what he would look like if he ever made the postseason here in Southern California. Okay. And way back when Mike Trout was insurable for the World Baseball Classic.
Oh, hey now.
Let's call it the way it is. Otherwise, you'd think Trout would be out there if he could get insurance. But I came on the show and I'm like, the pitch clock is coming. And the World Baseball Classic didn't use the pitch clock. And, man, this moment won't be the same when Major League Baseball institutes the pitch clock because the drama won't build as much. And they'll quick pitch because they'll have to because the clock's ticking. I was wrong, okay, because the ticking clock does not destroy the building drama in between pitches. It just doesn't. But I came on this show, I'm like, hopefully this moment won't go away. Now I'm kind of flipping the script saying this moment's about to go away because there is going to be a challenge system in Major League Baseball where a player, pitcher, or hitter taps the top of their head and the ABS, the automatic balls and strikes system, will chime in to see if that's really a ball or not. And you could bet that if the Dominican Republic still had a challenge remaining, because Soto would have gotten his right in that at-bat where he was called out on strikes on the same low strike that really was a ball, Perdomo would have touched the top of his head, and there'd have been runners on the corners for Fernando Tatis Jr. with Mason Miller deep into his pitch count and having trouble with an off-speed pitch over the plate.
He was throwing smoke, though, 102.
He was.
Like, man.
But as Smoltz was pointing out, he did not have the feel.
That's true.
He did not have the feel. So that moment, last night, in October, somebody's going to touch the top of his head, and we're going to see players jumping out of a dugout, celebrating the end of a game, only to say, hold on a second.
Hold.
Here comes ABS and the old Hawkeye system, ball four. You go back to your dugout. You, sir, who's been called out, you're on first, and we're continuing a baseball game. That day is coming, and it's coming the day after Tuesday. Because Tuesday's World Baseball Classic finale will be the last played without ABS, because there was a pitch clock this year. And I don't know why baseball decided not to use ABS in the World Baseball Classic, because we're already using it, and we're already getting used to it. But get ready, folks, because that day is coming. Could you imagine a game this big in October called strike three? Hold on. Hold on. Hold your horses. Don't jump out of the dugout celebrating just yet.
Imagine that run from the from the dugout, from the bullpen.
Not well, you better not leave the bullpen just yet.
Yes, I kind of can. The World Series was almost ended on a review at the plate.
That's true.
True.
We well, almost had
that
it.
That was out. That was out. Had Isaiah Kiner-Falefa been called safe, everyone would have spilled out of the dugout, and then they would have had to go back. He was called out, which meant the game was not over. This was a situation
but
where the
was
game
over,
was
it could have been
over.
Overturned, and then Toronto well, that, wins the
that,
World Series.
Right. After further review, yeah. Here's hey, your piece of metal.
I what?
Right. World Baseball Classic, amazing. Awesome. All right, let's take a break. Seth Greenberg, kind enough to join us as we will hit our brackets for the first time with him next. The March Madness season is underway. Seth Greenberg will join us next.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
O'Reilly Auto Parts can help take the guesswork out of your check engine, ABS, or maintenance light with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE certified master technicians. O'Reilly Veriscan can identify the most likely problem with just one scan. If you need help, O'Reilly Auto Parts can recommend a shop for you. Don't ignore a check engine, ABS, or maintenance light. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today. A free service exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Rich Eisen here. You know that feeling of handing off your taxes and then hearing nothing? Total radio silence. Well, not anymore. Now your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax full service expert who checks for every deduction and keeps you in the loop with real-time updates on your phone. Just match with your dedicated expert, upload your docs, and go live your life, confident you're getting every dollar you deserve. This is how taxes should be. Visit TurboTax.com today to learn more. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app. Only available with TurboTax full service experts. If you're like me and my family, you're all about creating amazing memories while on vacation. And for me, many of those have involved a home we found on Airbnb. We had such great experiences that whenever we travel somewhere new, we always check Airbnb first to find a place that fits our needs. The homes we've stayed in, comfortable, safe, private. You feel like you're part of the community. After a long day of exploring or sitting on a beach, it really is nice to come back to a place you can call your own. Airbnb is also a great way, if you want, to earn some extra money while you're traveling or out of your house for an extended period of time. You can make your home work for you while you're away. Not as a full-time thing, not as some big production, just something that fits into trips you're already taking. You can use the money for that dream vacation or put that money towards that outdoor kitchen you always wanted. Hosting on Airbnb just feels smart. Your home may be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Seth Greenberg from ESPN is on the Zoom line right here on our Disney Plus ESPN radio feed, joining us here on the program. Taking a look at the South bracket, Florida got the one seed there with Houston, Illinois, Nebraska, and Vanderbilt, which had a nice run towards the end of the season as the 2-5 in the South region. And then Arizona in the West being the other one seed, because we just discussed Michigan Duke in our TV only segment, but we'll circle back there in a second for our radio audience. Purdue, which just won the Big Ten tournament, playing 4 games in 4 days, no less. Gonzaga, Arkansas, and Wisconsin, the 2-5 there. So at the end of the day, you do think Duke got the toughest region, right, Seth?
Yeah, I really do. Because, I mean, the thing about, so Arizona, they get BYU, but they get BYU without Richie Saunders. As good as DeBounce is, that's a loss. Gonzaga's not like, you know, yours or my Gonzaga when it's knocking down shots. They're more of a defensive team with Graham Ike, who's a legitimate low post scorer and hard to match up with. But they really turn you over. They turn you over about 20% of their possessions. They're not the shot-making team. Purdue is the one that I would worry about, because if they can rebound, that Arizona team, I mean, they're so relentless. I like Arkansas, but the one thing Arkansas doesn't do well is they don't defend the post well, and they don't rebound on the defensive end at times well. But Darius Acuff Jr., he's worth the price of admission.
Would you say he's the hottest player entering the tournament, with all due respect to everybody else right now, Seth?
You know, Rich, here's my thing on him. Yeah, he is the hottest player. He's got a little Damian Lillard in his game. He's so good at the end of games. I said this to a friend of mine the other day. He's a great starter and a great closer, and he's just got to make sure those guys that are in the middle innings do their job. But, you know, he made three plays at the end of that game. And look, he had 30 points. And the shot he made falling out of bounds in the first half was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. His ability to like kind of level people up and shoot that step back like Lillard is ridiculous. But down the stretch, he made three plays in a row where he deferred. He didn't defer in terms of not being aggressive. He deferred in terms of drawing a second defender, kicked it out to Brazil twice for threes, and I think made another pass for a layup. That, like, high basketball IQ. All he was doing is he was taking what the defense gave him. He wasn't forcing it and making hard plays. He's the best layup shooter in college basketball. He shoots over 40% from the three-point line, and he's unflappable. This is the second time. Like, he struggled at one point in the first half a little bit. Cal takes him out, kind of let him take a step back, and then he went out and hooped.
He sure did. Seth Greenberg here on the Rich Eisen Show. Seth, I go way back to my first Bristol days. 1996 was when I started doing Sports Center, and one of my first Sports Centers was in March, right around now. Chris, this may be my anniversary on this day. I don't know. I got to look up the exact date.
Your very first one.
Pretty much. I got to look this up as I talk about it. But in 1996, John Calipari led UMass to the Final Four.
Yeah.
Rick Pitino won it all with Kentucky. And they're back in the tournament as conference tournament champions for respectively Arkansas and St. John's. I can't believe it, man. Their longevity and what they're doing in their current spots. I'll give you the floor on that, Seth.
Yeah, like, I grew up with those guys through the five-star camp. And, you know, I grew up in New York. Obviously, Rick's from New York. What Rick's done is incredible. I mean, he really has. And he just has that ability. I mean, he has the ability to just energize people. He has the ability to challenge guys and get them to buy in, not feel like they're being demeaned, but really he's kind of ushering them along and building a bridge for them to cross to reach the potential. We always know he's been creative. What he did with Providence with the three-point line and the pressing was unique in its time, well ahead of its time. So you got Rick, who's as passionate as ever been, and just taking over New York, making Madison Square Garden the place to be for college basketball, which, you know, it hasn't been in 20 years. And then you got John Calipari, who said, well, he lost his fastball, and he struggled at the end of Kentucky. Well, he and his AD weren't aligned. That's just the way it is. And when you're not aligned with your AD, you're not the best version of yourself as a coach. I'm speaking from experience. But John Calipari, he is re-energized. I mean, it's fun to see him back. And I don't mean like the swag and the crazy interviews and the what, and, you know, the stuff he does. I'm talking about coaching his team. He is enjoying this move to Arkansas. He's enjoying being aligned with his AD. He's enjoying the players on his team. He loved his Kentucky players, but you know, that place can be suffocating. He, you know, it's nice to be appreciated. We all want to be appreciated. No matter whatever we do, we want to be appreciated. And Arkansas is appreciating him. He's pouring into the kids. The kids are pouring into the community. It's two great, great stories. It's two great coaches, two great guys that changed a lot of people's lives. And two guys, when they first got in it, there was no money in coaching. But they made a lot of money, Rich.
I bet they have. I bet they have. Seth Greenberg here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, let's make people's brackets sing. Let's give them some help here, Seth. You got some upset specials that you're eyeing that you think could happen? The 5-12, the dreaded 5-12 matchup. Others, what do you got for me?
I think Akron's got a shot at Texas Tech because no JT Topp, and Akron's a team that can really score the ball. I mean, they only do score the ball. I know I hate when people say that, and I just said it. But they can really shoot the three. They play at an incredibly fast pace. 37% of their shots come to the three-point line. They make about 35%. They turn people over because they keep people on one side of the floor defensively. They won't be overwhelmed athletically. I think they've got a legitimate shot because of their shot making, the pace that they play with. And Texas Tech, although Grant McCaslin's done a great job, and Donovan Atwell stepped up and been one of the elite shooters in the country, and Christian Anderson is really good. But if you're going to take a flyer, I think that's not a bad flyer to take just because they've won a ton of games. One thing about these mid-majors that have won a ton of games, those dudes expect to win. We've won 25 games. You think we're used to winning. We're just going to go out and do what we do and have them worry about us and let the pressure come to them. So I think that's an interesting kind of swing. I also think the South Florida, my old stomping grounds, mm-hmm. and Louisville is an interesting one, especially if Mykael Brown doesn't play for Louisville, because he creates easy baskets for them, makes the game easier for Ryan Conwell, makes the great game easier for Isaac McNeely. They don't have any inside scoring, this Louisville team, but I'll tell you who has inside scoring and a presence inside, and that's USF. Isaiah Nelson is a problem, and the kid Pinion can really shoot it. Ennis can run the show. They press. They play fast. They have a physicality. They get extra possessions off their defense and on the offensive glass. So that's another one that, you know, you might take a look at and say, you know what, this one's worth taking a little bit of a flyer on. So I think that the very top hasn't separated himself as much as, like, say, last year. And there are more good teams that on a given day can beat someone.
Okay. I'm taking a look. Let's chime in on the Miami of Ohio question here. They made the first four. They're playing SMU on Wednesday. Winner takes on Tennessee in Philadelphia in the first round of the tournament. Do you think Miami of Ohio deserved to make the first four and have a path to the tournament, Seth Greenberg?
Yeah, the first four, for sure. Look, perfection. You know, to win 31 games in a row is incredible. Now, look, every metric says they're not one of the 37 best at-large teams, all right? And I understand that. But you've got to have some type of value for what they able to do in terms of navigate their season. So I thought the committee did a good job with that, putting them in the first four and not in the field. I was confused with the committee because when the committee chair came out, he said, well, when we went through brackets, they were the top of the last four in. But then when we scrubbed, I thought it was really interesting. Then when we scrubbed the four teams, they were the last one of the four. I said, well, if you scrubbed it before and they were at the top of the top four, and then you scrubbed it amongst each other, how did they end up at the bottom of the top four, on the bottom four? So it makes no difference. They're in. They can really play offense. I mean, they can really play offense. They play great spacing. The Byers kid can shoot the three. Walford could shoot three. Suter could play anywhere in America. He's a high major two guard. They play with really good spacing. The kid Skaljack, the little point guard, is really good getting in the lane and creating shots. They got a kid who transferred from Rutgers, a big kid, Walfick, who is big enough to play. The problem is, can they rebound the ball and can they defend? They're playing an SMU team that's just going to go up and down. They're getting BJ Williams back with that, and that's a really huge part for them because they B.J. Edwards back, I should say. Mm-hmm. And that's important for them because he adds a defensive element to the SMU team that makes them a lot better.
Well, I'm taking a look at some other matchups that could be intriguing in a round of 32. And one of them that jumps out at me is UConn against UCLA in Philadelphia. And Seth, you know, an anti-anxiety calm sort of pharmaceutical like Zoloft presents Dan Hurley versus Mick Cronin. What do you think, Seth? You know what I mean? Like Lexapro can chime in here. What do you think?
I think it's going to be a good post-game press conference no matter what.
You imagine?
I mean, like both guys pour themselves into the team.
That's one way to put it.
I want to say something like, and I've known Mick Cronin for a very long time, and I call him a friend. I'm not defending him at all because sure. The thing he did in the Michigan State game is not defendable. Having said that, those kids have to love him because after that game, I thought one of two things was going to happen. I thought he was either going to get fired mm-hmm. or try to get fired. I mean, to be honest with you, I never called him on it after it. Or number two, those kids would stop playing for him because, you know, that you got to own your locker room. If you don't own your locker room, you have no chance. And all he did was, I think he won like 8 of the last 10. So what people don't see in the nuttiness of Mick, whose press conference were on like trading barbs every single week on our game day show, is he spends an incredible amount of time with his players. And they know what they're getting into. Whether you like it or not, whether you're he's got to be a little bit embarrassed at times about what he does. He's got to look back and go, ooh, I know. Hey, I was a nutty coach. So, I mean, I look back and say, oh, I did that. Whew. But, and Mick, I mean, like, he is who he is, but his team has responded. And the same thing with Danny. Like, I spent a ton of time up at UConn. I mean, I live in Avon, so it's right there all summer. I go once a week to watch him practice. He is a savant as a teacher, as a coach, and as nutty as he is, he's the most sensitive, genuine, real human being that you'll ever meet. It's almost his coaching behavior is a model behavior. That's how his dad coached. Obviously, we know about Bobby and how he is, but Dan Hurley is a savant, and if you see him and the time he spends with his guys. Forget about off the court, like pouring into them as people. Like I saw the kid, Aiden Mahaney, who played from last year, transferred to Santa Barbara, started at St. Mary's. That kid was really struggling. It just wasn't a good fit. And he protected that kid. And he spent time with him. He spent a measurable amount of time just making sure that kid stayed up. And he does it with a lot of his guys. But you know, he can be certifiably insane at times also, but he's true to himself. And if you see him away from it, you understand how his guys literally love him. I'll give you a quick funny story.
Sure.
So before they played Marquette a year ago, we did a game day show that Saturday there. So they asked me to go down and I did it. Sit down with Dan and, you know, Dan, he lets me in their film sessions and in practices, even when they're closed. And so the film session was on the last Marquette game where they missed 8,000 defensive assignments. They did very little right defensively. It was an hour film session. It was a marathon and he is killing them. And they're playing the next day. They're playing Marquette again. And like, there was blood on the walls. It was crazy. And then, like, at the end of it, he goes, oh, hey, I'm happy we got that out of our system. He said, all right, you guys, meals at so-and-so time. This is that. This is the schedule tomorrow. I'm going to the deprivation tank. I'm going to lay down butt naked, listen to music, and I'll be ready to go tomorrow. I hope you guys are, too. And those guys literally ran down from the film room and are jumping up and down, messing up his hair, chest bumping him. I sat there and went, holy blank. This is unbelievable. This dude has a gift. They, you know, they get it. And you know what? Rick Pitino was the same way. Tom Izzo was the same way. Tom Izzo might still be the same way. Yeah. I mean, Rick might still be the same way. But if the kids know you're real and that you really care about them as people first, you kind of get a little bit of a, I wouldn't say a pass, but they understand all your emotion is coming out because they really, they know that you, they just, those guys want to see their guys succeed so badly and help them kind of navigate their rest of their lives. But they're interesting to be around. I can tell you that much. But so was I back in the day, I'm sure.
did you go in a tank, General?
No. I've never been to the tank.
The deprivation.
He swears by it.
Okay.
He swears by it. He does it for every game.
Okay.
But that game, it's a classic thing. He said he was in there. So I see him in the morning, the next day, when we come to do the show, I said, so how was the tank? And he goes, oh, man, it was crazy. I said, what do you mean it's crazy? He said, I was supposed to be in there for 30 minutes. He said, for some reason, I was in there for an hour, and they forgot that they had it wrong. Yeah, he said, I started feeling a little like, what's going on here?
Oh, my God. Let me just say this, guys, if I'm ever in a deprivation tank, come get me after 30 minutes, okay? That's a standing rule.
Deal. Yep.
Oh, my God.
Copy that.
All right, before I let you go, Seth, your final four is?
To be changed, potentially. Michigan State, Houston, Arizona, Michigan. I have Michigan playing Michigan State. You'll like this, by the way.
In the national championship game?
Hey, and you know what the best part of the game is going to be?
No.
The post-game handshake.
Yeah. Well, or Drake May.
Or Lego.
Or Drake May. Or Dusty May sitting out there on Izzo's bench before the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You love that. You Michigan guys love that snarkiness.
Did we ever? So you have stuff. Michigan State versus Michigan in the national championship game right now?
And Michigan went in it.
I would sign up for that.
Well, I worry about the Duke kids, the two guys potentially being out, and like the backup point guard for Duke right now is Cam Boozer. He plays like Scottie Pippen when his brother goes.
Yeah,
out
I know.
Now.
Looked pretty good against Virginia.
Pretty good. How good a passer is he? He's the most mature 18-year-old I've ever been around since I've been involved in coaching.
Yeah,
the most mature, carries himself, great leader, selfless. All he wants to do is win. Unbelievable teammate. His parents, Grace and CeCe, they are tremendous people.
Yeah, I was about to say his dad never thought he was a wild and crazy guy when I was watching him play, you know, professionally also. And obviously the mom comes from good stock right there. Okay. Seth Greenberg, thank you for the time. We'll reach out during the tournament if you don't mind. I'd love to have you back.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That's Seth Greenberg right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let me tell you, Michigan versus Michigan State in the national championship game would break the state. Absolutely break the state. And for Michigan and Michigan State to get a third crack at each other for all the marbles?
Wow.
That would be something else. And then this guy strolling out there before the game doing this in Indianapolis?
You'd have to go.
I was literally about to say.
Would I have to go?
You'd have to go.
Oh, and I'd sit next to Mooch.
And Magic?
Wherever. Mooch. It would be me, Mooch, Magic, and
the Fab Five.
I'll bring Sue. Yeah.
Jalen be there too.
Let's go.
Jalen, right? We can keep going down.
Ray, Jimmy,
yeah.
Sean Vesper.
Eisenpalooza.
That'll be Eisenpalooza. Draymond shows up.
Bateen Cleaves.
All of them.
Yeah.
All the Flintstones.
Glenn Rice, let's go.
The Flintstones.
I'm with it.
Dude. Michigan versus Michigan. That means Michigan State would have to beat Duke.
Steve Smith would be in the building?
One would assume.
Well, Duke, man, Duke, he's right.
By the way, Michigan.
Duke got put in a hard.
Duke is tough, man.
No, hard bracket. I watched them against Virginia. And by the way, did you watch that game?
Some of it.
Did you hear who was on the call?
No, because it was on the TV with no sound.
Oh, Mr. Chow? Oh, no. Nah. Dickie V did the game.
Hey.
He was awesome with a capital A.
Awesome, baby.
I'm telling you, his voice was gravelly. Like, you could hear, like, he's, you know, obviously he's been through it. But he sounded like he was on it. He was knowledgeable, obviously.
He's 86.
He was as enthusiastic as ever, and I was sitting there watching it because I got an alert on my phone that it was a tie game with 6 minutes to go. And I thought, you know, if Virginia beat Duke and then if Michigan beat Purdue, Michigan might be the number one overall seed. And that would be beneficial to Michigan, with me not knowing that Duke being the first overall seed got this draw. Crazy draw.
Crazy.
That's weird.
So I flipped it on and I'm like, wait a minute. That voice sounds familiar. I'm like, holy crap, it's Dick Vitale calling it.
Love it.
I'm on fire. It was awesome, man.
Oops. That was the wrong one.
Great. It's okay. I was on fire. I was so excited about it. It was great. And I'm like, I texted him. It was just awesome to hear him. And I hope this means he's going to do more games in the future.
Rich Eisen is awesome, baby, with a capital A.
That's it, man.
Dickie V.
I'm telling you, he sounded himself. Awesome. At any rate, I wasn't sitting there thinking Duke's a shadow of themselves at all. They were missing anybody. I know they are, but man.
I mean, we need.
And did you see John Shire now has as many ACC tournament wins in his first, I believe, 4 years as the Coach K successor as Roy Williams had at UNC?
Hmm.
Yeah. Nice start for John Shire. We take a break. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't you dare move. A lot of time for all of us to chat coming up.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Get into the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event and get away with a deal so right, it almost feels wrong. Because right now, you can get great deals on our most popular models, including our adventure-ready SUVs like the Hyundai Santa Fe or Santa Fe Hybrid and the Tucson or Tucson Hybrid. Plus, there's our bold and stylish Elantra loaded with the latest tech. Or go all electric with the Ioniq 5 or Ioniq 9. So get down to your local Hyundai dealer and get away with a deal you'll love during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for details.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
All one big happy family, everybody. The women's brackets are out as well. The tournament selection shows all over the place over the weekend. And the number one overall seed on the women's side of things is, not surprisingly, UConn.
Shocking. They are a massive favorite to win the title.
Well, UCLA is right behind them. Let's not forget our local Bruins, I mean, up the road here.
The betting odds are, you know, they're interesting.
UConn is going for, you want to guess the number of titles? Go ahead.
14.
TJ?
I was literally going to say 14.
You're both over.
13.
Oh,
13. Hey. 13th national title.
Jeez. I mean, that's absurd.
UConn has Vanderbilt as the two seed in their side of the draw.
Okay.
South Carolina is on their side of the draw as well. So that would be potentially, if the one seeds make it from their respective regions,
okay,
a South Carolina UConn matchup. Sign me up for that.
Where is Texas? They have the third.
Texas is number one along with UCLA as well. It goes UConn, UCLA, Texas, South Carolina in terms of the odds, no?
Correct.
All right.
But Connecticut's minus money. They're minus 270.
I don't know, man.
That's wild. I've never seen that
before. Number two seed for Texas is my Wolverines.
Nice.
Who almost took care of UConn earlier this season. UCLA went into Ann Arbor and beat Michigan there as part of their rampaging to the one seed. The two seed in UCLA's region is LSU.
Fun.
So let's just point it out. Let's just say it goes chalk, okay? These would be the matchups to make the women's Final Four. South Carolina, Iowa, UConn, Vandy, Texas, Michigan, UCLA, LSU. Sign me up.
Let's go.
Sign me up on all of that. So that's the women's side of things for the brackets.
Am I creating a groups, public group for us?
Why wouldn't we?
Let's do it. Rich Eisen Show on the men's and women's side. I'll tweet those out. And please.
So what are we going to do now? What are we going to do? So you go on the ESPN. By the way, now that we're on Disney.
That's right.
We don't need to sneak around.
Yeah, you go on the ESPN Bracket Challenge.
By the way, for all of our Disney friends out there, we've been sneaking on your site for the last 10 years of our program. And using it as an open. Like it's the same. We could use the same name, right?
Literally going to be the same. We're going to be Rich Eisen Show group name on the men's and women's side.
We've been sneaking on the Disney sites the last few years.
Join, sign up, and compete against us.
Yeah. Now we're in. Now we don't have to sneak around anymore. It's Fantastic. So what are we going to do? Whoever wins gets a mug? What are we going to do?
Oh, group name taken, so I can...
Group name's taken because we took it.
Yeah, it's hard. It's
yeah, I know, but I don't know what the login is to get it back up and going.
All right, how about this? You just announced it. How are we going to not open it up now?
Well, it is. Well, let me just do no spaces.
Okay, very good.
just look for Rich Eisen something.
No spaces. There it is.
That's us.
Rich Eisen Show.
There we go. We're back. Literally and figuratively.
All right, let me tweet this out.
So the winner gets what? What do we do?
You want a full-on swag bag? What do we want to do there?
Full-on swag bag.
Got backpacks.
Got the backpack.
Rich Eisen Show backpack with a...
Q-zips and the mugs.
Yeah, you guys better check, you guys better check that
we
first.
We have mugs. We have this, too. Thanks to Megan Judge and her outstanding team at ESPN. We got a Rich Eisen Show Tumblr. And the ESPN logo on the back, we got that working for us, which is nice.
You should autograph it.
I think I was dead last year. Like, I filled it out wrong.
What do you mean?
Filled it out wrong?
How do you fill out a bracket wrong?
Del Tufo said, everyone's making fun of you. You didn't fill it out right.
How do you fill out a bracket wrong?
I don't know, but that's what Del Tufo
said. In all honesty, like, it's like the SAT. You get a certain amount just for putting your name on it.
That's what I thought, too, but apparently I
didn't. All right. How about that? So the winner of the men's and the... And we'll autograph one of these coffee thingies.
There you go.
Coffee thingies.
What do we call these?
Tumblr.
Tumblr.
How's it taste?
I Tumblr for you.
Cage is really into that song because Billy Madison.
I just gave this a nickname, a Berman nickname. We Tumblr for you. Wait a minute. Cage knows... Country club?
Really into this song because it's, you know, it's featured in Billy Madison.
Okay.
And he's very into Billy Madison.
Okay. Very good.
Of late.
Very good. Raising him right.
I don't know if that's good parenting.
It's great. But it's great parenting. It's not. All right. Hour number one in the books here on ESPN Radio. We're back to chat with you. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We've yet to hit Bam Adebayo complaining about not getting calls.
This guy.
Hour number two coming up. Don't go anywhere.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.